The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Gemara Masechta Yuma, Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Migdush Rishain Mibnei Machorav, the first Beis HaMikdush. Why was it destroyed? Mibnei Gimel Dvorim. Because of three transgressions. Shehoyu Be'aveir Zora, Gilei Arayis U'Shfichas Domim. Because there was idolatry amongst Klal Yisrael. There was Gilei Arayis, adultery and incest, and Shfichas Domim, the shedding of innocent blood. And then the Gemara brings proofs to all of this. The Gemara further says, Aval Migdash Sheni, but the second Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed. And this is the Golus, the exile that we're in now from the second Beis HaMikdash. Shohai Eiskin Betore Bemitzvus Gemilas Chasodim. They were involved in, they kept Torah and they kept mitzvahs. And they kept Gemilas Chasodim. Mipnei Machorab. Why was it destroyed? Mipnei Shohai Sebei Sinas Chinam. Because there was hatred between the people, unjustified hatred. Lelamdecho, to teach you, Shishkul Sinas Chinam, Keneged Shleish Averus. Averus Ore Gila Reis U'Shvichas Domim. That the hatred and disunity in Klal Yisrael is equal to the three above mentioned Averus. And those Averus are this Shleish Hamurus, the three most difficult Averus in the Torah. The Chofetz Chaim Zichron Livrocha in the Sefer Chofetz Chaim in the Hagdoma writes that when the Gemara says Sinas Chinam because of hatred, it means that this brought them to Loshon Hara, to slandering each other and speaking badly about each other, which comes from Sinas Chinam, which comes from this hatred. And he brings sources on this. And he says, because if it would merely be from the Sinas Chinam and it wouldn't be the Loshon Hara, then we would not find such an enormous punishment, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is how we see also from the Gemara in Gittin. Because the Gemara in Gittin brings and the Afnun Heyamid Beis. The Gemara says, Akamso Ubar Kamso Chorav Yushalayim. Yushalayim was destroyed because of an episode with two people, one by the name of Kamso and the other by the name of Bar Kamso. What was the story? Dahu Gavro Derachme Kamso. There was a certain person who was a good friend of Kamso. Ubal Devove Bar Kamso. And he was an enemy of Bar Kamso. Ovet Sudosa. One day he made a big party. And he told his gabbai, he told his assistant to go out and invite Kamso. Also Laishile Bar Kamso. By mistake, he invited Bar Kamso. Also Ashkechei Davi Yosef. At the banquet, he saw that Bar Kamso was sitting there. Omalei Michtia Hu Gavro Baldevovadu Hu Gavro. My boy Socha. He says, you're my enemy, what are you doing here? Kumbhuk. Get up and leave. Omalei, the person didn't want to leave because he didn't want to be embarrassed for having to leave the banquet. Omalei oil v'osoi shafkun v'ayvineloch d'mei madi achino v'shasino. He said, since I'm already here, leave me stay. All right, it was a mistaken invitation. And I'll pay you for whatever I eat or drink. Omalei lei. He said, no. Omalei avineloch d'mei palgadish v'saych. He said, I'll pay you for half the whole banquet. Amalela, he said, no. Amale Avina Lochadame Kulas of the Sai. He said, I'll pay you for the whole banquet. Amale lay, knocked the biyode vulpa vavkea. He took him by the arm and he marched him out, threw him out. Now naturally this person was very embarrassed. And he became seething, he became very angry. Omar O'il Vabiyasvi Rabona Vale Mochube, since they were Rabonim at the Suda, and they didn't get up and protest what was taking place. Shmaminoko Nichole. Evidently they were very happy that I was thrown out. So he decided that he'll take revenge against the Rabbon and against Klal Yisrael, even though he was a Yehudi. So what did he do? He said, Ezel Echel Bahu Kutsa Bei Malka. So Rashi says, Malshimas, let me go slander Yisrael by the Malchus, by the Roman governors, because this was at the time when the Romans had occupied Eretz Yisrael. Ozul Omalele Keso. So he went and he said to the Caesar, Mordebacho Yudoi, the Jews are revolting against you. Omalei Miyima, he says, well, how do you know? So he put together a whole scheme on how to prove to the Caesar that the Jews were revolting. And from here came the war. Came the war, and was Chorev Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed. What do we see? It was through this Sinas Chinam, that was the Machlekes, the hatred between these two people. And then the Malshimas, the Loshon Hara, that he went and he told the Caesar against Klal Yisrael. And therefore, also what we understand, incidentally, in the Maral brings that it doesn't mean to say that it was because of this episode alone Yerushalayim was destroyed. It means that this hate was prevalent amongst Klal Yisrael. And this was the final hate, the final act that brought the Churban. And then we understand from here what the Gemara brings later on, and Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Gemara brings Bahainu Domer Ablozer, and this is what Ablozer says: B'sheit Loshon Teichovei. Now this is a pasuk in Iyov. It's in Iyov Perakei Pasuk Chaf Aleph. B'sheit Loshon Teichovei V'leisira Mishod Ki Yavo. That from the evil tongue, when there's much Loshon Hara, one should conceal himself. Rashi says, B'sheit Loshon, B'merivas Loshon. When there's a great slander, fighting with people are saying things against each other, then one should conceal himself. So this David explains, Be'ez yir be'loshon hara be'olam. When one sees that there is great loshon hara in the world, v'tishet et ha'loshon, l'daber ocher, people are speaking against each other, atot yenech bo v'nistar mimeno, then it's time for you to lay low. Conceal yourself. Stay out of sight. Low profile. Kilei t'daber alecho, and then the people won't speak against you. They don't see you. Out of sight, out of mind. V'leitiro imkein mehashodod v'hiva avodon haba al yedei loshon hara. And then you will not have to fear from the great churban that will come because there's loshon hara in the world. So this is what Ablezer says, and Rashi explains. What does it mean? V'hainu d'omer Ablezer, Hodi amrina le'eru she'ayidei loshon hara chorav habayis v'nehergu kama revovos. This is what we said before, that it was because of the Lashon Hara, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and so many tens of thousands were killed. So we see, Mikdash Rishon, the second Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed because of the internal hatred which brought people to slander each other. And if we go further into this, we'll see that really a deeper root of the Churban Beis HaMikdash was from Lashon Hara. Because many generations before, when the Maraglim and Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, in the desert, and they came to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and the people said, let us send in spies and scouts so we can see what's doing there and if we can conquer the land. The spies were sent out Erev Reish Chodesh Tammuz, and they scouted the land for 40 days and they returned Erev Tisha B'Av, like the Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainus. And when they came back, they were Meitzi Dibas HaOretz. They slandered Eretz Yisrael, and they said, we cannot conquer the land, and it's a land which will consume us. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu bring us here for? Tev lanu b'Mitzrayim. It was better in Mitzrayim. In the Mishnah and Masechta Erechin, Daf Tes Vav Amar Aleph says, al zeh nishkaken gzar din, that it was on this that the decree was sealed, that that generation that came out of Mitzrayim should die in the desert and will not inherit the land. The children were. And that evening, when the people heard this report, the evil report on Eretz Yisrael, it states, Vayivku balaylo zeh, they wept. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem bechise bechia shel chinam, kevei ani aleichem bechia ledoros. You are weeping for no reason whatsoever, because I already told you, you will conquer the land. There will be nothing for you. But you are weeping for no reason. Then I will set aside this night a time for the generations where you will have to weep. And that night was Tisha B'Av, which the Mikdoshes, the Beis HaMikdosh, was destroyed, and we had so much sorrow on that night. So we see that even a deeper root was because of Lashon Hara. Actually, if we go back further, we find that this was the first chate. This was the first sin that took place in the world. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man and woman, and he commanded them and said, Mikol Eitz HaGan Teichlu, Teichal, that you can eat from all of the trees of the garden, except from the Eitz Hadas Tevara, except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and B'yemachocha, the day you will eat from that tree, Meis Tomus, you will die. And the serpent, the Nochash HaKadmoni, came along, and he told Chava, this is in Bereishis Gimel Pasuk Dalet, Lemos Tomus. No, if you eat from that tree, you will not die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to eat from that tree because he knows that when you will eat from that tree, then your eyes will be opened and you will be like God himself, knowing good and evil. And this is why he told you not to eat from the tree. So the Nochash came and was Meitzi Diba, he slandered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this caused Chava to eat and to give to Adam to eat. And this brought death to the world with all of the klolos, all of the other curses that came. So we see here concisely, we can go on and this, of what the chet haloshon, the sin of the tongue, can do. Now, this is something that we have to understand. Why? Why is it so serious? Why are the consequences so great? And in order to understand this, first we must understand what is dibur, what is speech. And I spoke on this on Shabbos at the Brocha, and I would like to repeat over a number of things which we said then. It's commonly understood, especially in the world today, that talk is cheap, doesn't cost any money. Most things you do cost money. If you eat, if you drink, talk doesn't cost money. Doesn't use up too much energy, although it can, and doesn't mean much. It's only talk, it's only verbal, or like it's only an oral commitment, and so on. The fact is, if we look today at the talk industry, the talk in the word industry, TV, radio, movies, videos, the millions or the billions of uncountable words that go through on a daily basis. I saw one person who they were trying to describe this past century. He said this would be the century of the mass media. However, from the Torah, we see just to the contrary. Not only is talk something which is not cheap, but we see that some of the greatest mitzvahs, which are aimed in Merumei Shel Olam, which bring a person to the greatest heights, and uncountable mitzvahs, that one can fulfill on a daily basis with talk. For example, first of all, there's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Kineged Kulam. The mitzvah which the Mishnah tells us is equal to all of the mitzvahs. The study of Torah, Vidibal Tobom, when we learn, we talk. Many hold that in order to fulfill the mitzvah properly, you have to learn out loud. You don't have to yell, but at least where there's chitu hadibor, the pronunciation, the verbalization of the words. Everyone holds, the Gemara says, that with chitu hadibor, that when you pronounce the words, you verbalize the words, your fulfillment of the mitzvah is greater and your understanding of the Torah is far greater. Vishinantum levonecho, v'lemadetem es menechem, to teach your children or the Talmidim, you certainly can only fulfill that through speech, or mainly through speech. We see the entire Torah, Vayidaber Moshe, El Bnei Yisrael, Moshe spoke. The fact is, this week's parsha is Elo Advorim. These are the words which Moshe spoke. Tefillah, the great mitzvah of Tefillah. The Gemara commentaries bring it's not enough for us b'machshava, only mentally has to be spoken. Chituch hadibor, we need pronunciation of the words. Krishma, reading the Shema twice a day. Tzorach lashmila eznov, you have to have chituch hadibor, verbalization of the words. When it comes to Gemilas Chesed, doing Chesed, which is from the great pillars of the world, with words, you can be Mesameach someone, bring him joy. You can be Mechazek him, encourage him. Bikacholim, through words, you can encourage the sick. Nichum Avelim, you can comfort the mourners. Mesameach Chosin Vekala, the Gemara says the main Simchas Chosin Vekala is what you speak about them. You praise them. Yirah Shamayim, when it comes to the fear of God, it states in Malachi Gimel, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Oz Nidbere Yirei Hashem Ish El Rehu. When a man speaks to his fellow man in Yiras Hashem, in the fear of Hashem, they speak about the greatness of Hashem, or they speak about His Torah, or they speak about doing something good, a good project to help someone, or to build a shul, or a yeshiva. It states, Vayakshev Hashem Veyishma. When they're speaking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and He listens. Vikosev Sefer Zikor in Lefonov. And He writes it down. Liyiri Hashem Lechesh Veshmai. For those who fear Hashem, and for those who honor His name. Actually, the Chazal state that in the time of the Torah, Moshe wrote down to us. In the time of Nevi'im, of the prophets, so Shmuel wrote down. Other prophets wrote down. But today, after the prophets ended, who writes down? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes it down. And Eliyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Eliyahu, they write. We have the mitzvah of Hagodas Edus to testify. That's only with Dibur, Spiras HaEmer, counting of the Omer, Mikro Bikurim. When one brought his first fruits, he had to be Oner Bikol. He had to raise his voice and praise Hashem, and so forth. Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah which we fulfill on Pesach night. When we tell over the going out of Egypt, it's a prime mitzvah in the Torah, only with Dibur. So we have, and the Vilna Gaon brings, that when one studies Torah, every word, every concept of Torah is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, is a mitzvah by itself. So he says, therefore, if someone learns a daf gemara, a blat gemara, there's many, many hundreds of mitzvahs where each one is shokel keneged kol ha-teira kula, where each one is shokel to all the equal to all of the mitzvahs. This is what Dibur. So we just see just to the contrary. Not that talk is cheap, but we can fulfill the many of the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah through this speaking. And the same on the other side of the scale when it comes to averus kamuras. Many of the most serious averus, when a person uses his speech not properly, for example, like we mentioned, loshon hara, rechilus, machlekes. The rechilus is where you do not say something bad about the person, but you tell Reuven about something that Shimon said or did, which you know will incite Reuven to machlekes. In other words, where you bring a story to someone about someone else which is insightful, that's rechilus. Loshon hara, we see what it did. Rechilus, we know that can be cause shvichas domim, that can cause, that's brought, where it can cause the death of many, many people. The further averus, einos dvorim. If you hurt someone with your words, certainly if you insult someone with your words, certainly if you're mavayish, if you embarrass someone with your words. The Gemara says, kol mavayish es chaveru barabim ein lechelek leilam abor ukishefik domin. That someone who publicly embarrasses someone with his words, heaven forbid, he can lose his portion in the world to come. and kishefek domim, and it's like he's spilling blood. We had in last week's parsha in Matos, ki yidar ish ki yidar neder, or yishav ashfu al Hashem, that if a person takes a vow or an oath, lo yachal devorei, he should not desecrate his words. Whatever comes out of his mouth, he has to fulfill. He shall not desecrate his words. Because a person's word has kedusha, sanctity in it. And if he does, these are very, very serious averos. Edu sheker, if he testifies falsely, these are very serious averos. Some of these are mentioned in Aseres Adibros, in the Ten Commandments. Or if he speaks when one shouldn't be speaking, if he's speaking during the time of the Tefillah or the Kriyas HaTorah, or during the time of a Shiur and so forth. So, on the other hand, we see that some of the greatest averos can come with only words. Now, why is that? Why is it that the power of the speech is so mighty? The general understanding is because we communicate with our speech. Imagine if there would be a world of people who could not talk. There would be a breakdown in communication. And society depends on communication. And that's done through speech. This is true. But this is not sufficient to answer the question. For a number of reasons. Firstly, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu never created speech, we could communicate in other ways. It wouldn't be as sophisticated. Or we could communicate through writing, or perhaps through sounds, or motions. You take the animal kingdom, you take the fish, the birds, they cannot speak, but still they communicate with each other. Yes, it wouldn't be the sophisticated society that we have, but nevertheless, we could still be able to communicate. But there's a further question. If the power of speech is based on the fact that it's on a communication in the world, well, this is good when it comes to mitzvahs between man and his fellow man. But we see even other mitzvahs that have to do between man and Hashem, also many times are done only through speech or require speech. Many of the mitzvahs that we mentioned before, when one is mishpalel, he davens to Hashem. When one brings bikurim, he praises Hashem. The study of Torah for oneself. So why? And this also wouldn't answer why do we find that when one slanders his fellow man, why does it become so serious and the ramifications so great? And this question the Marami praxis as follows. If we look in Bereshis Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim, when Hashem was creating man, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim, and Hashem formed man, he created man, Es Adam, Ofer Min Adama, dust from the earth, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul, Vayi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya. And man became a nefesh chayo, a living being. These last four words are superfluous, because it states that Hashem made man from the earth, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. Why is it necessary to say anything else now? Vayodam lenefesh chayo. Man became a living being. And Rashi explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in all Ma'aseh Bereishis, in the creation of the world, some things he created from the Elyonim, from the upper worlds, spiritual worlds, and other things he created here in the Tachtonim, in the lower worlds. Some things he placed up there, here he brought here. Man was created both from the Elyonim and Tachtonim, from the upper worlds and from the lower worlds, from the earth and from the breath of Hashem. Okay. So why does it say after that, Vayi Odono Nefesh Chaya, and man became a living being? What is it coming to tell us? Rashi says, man became a living being, Afbehem Vachayi Nikru Nefesh Chaya. Animals and other life also became a living being. Akzu Shel Odom Choye Shebekulam. But this life, this living existence that man became because of the merging of the two worlds, is Chaya Shebekulam, is different and greater than all. Shenitesiv Bo Deya V'Dibor. Because this living existence, this what he received from the merging of the two worlds, is something that we do not find any other place. And that was his intelligence and his speech. The Targum Onkelos says, Ubora Hashem Elokim Yesodim Afra Min Admosho. Kodesh Baruch Hu created man dust from the earth, Unefach Bar Poi Nishmosa Dechaya, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul, Vahavas Bo Odom, and what did Odom become? Leruach Memalalo. He became a speaker, a person that could speak. Now, both Rashi mentions Nitesiv Bo Adeya V'Dibur, was given the power of speech. And the Targum mentions that through the merging, through the meshing of these two worlds, he became a speaker. What does this have to do with it? If we give thought to it, we see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all other life besides man, he gave them many, many powers which man has, many of the senses which man has, and many times even in a greater degree than he gave to man. For example, we go to see the other life on the world. They have the Keach HaRi'ah. They can see, many of them. They can hear. They can smell. Many times they can see better than we can. They can hear better than we can. They can smell better than we can. They can walk. They can run like man can, many times even better. They can fly, some of them. They can swim, some of them, better than we can. They were given a cold voice to make sounds. They eat and they drink. And they were even given a ksasechel, they were even given somewhat of an intelligence. But there's one power that no other living creature was given. And that was the power of Dibor, of speech. Levate ha'osius, to verbalize, to take one's thoughts and verbalize them into letters, and to make the letters into words, and to make the words into sentences, and make the sentences into paragraphs. This power to verbalize one's thoughts and to make them into words, this power of Dibor, was not given to any species in the world except to man. And this is what Rashi says. What does it mean, Nefesh Chaya, that through the merging of the two worlds that he was made for, he became a living being? Af Chayas Balechaim Nami. There's many living beings we have in the world. No, this was a different level of life. Shinitosiv bo deya v'dibor. He was given intelligence and the power of speech that none of them were given. And the Targum says he was given the power to make words, to speak. And the Maharal explains further. Is because even though without a doubt the greatest power of man, the highest level that man has is his intelligence. But he says the intelligence is not minachema, the intelligence is not physical. The intelligence is totally non-physical. There is nothing physical in a thought. So the thought is not a process of man. Rather, the thought is the process of the powers of the Elyonim, of the non-spiritual elements, which was placed in man. But that's not man. Man is neither physical or spiritual. He's ofer min adama vayipach bapav nishmas chay. He's the merging of both worlds. So therefore, in order to find the essence of man, we have to find something which is from both worlds. And therefore, it cannot be his intelligence. What is the highest level in man which comes from both worlds? Vayi Adam Nefesh Chaya, that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this creature, what was he? He was one that could use this intelligence in the form of dibur, of speech. He was the speaker. Because in order to speak, in order to verbalize one's concealed non-physical thoughts, you have to use spiritual powers in man, the intellect. You have to use the emotional powers in man, and you have to use the physical powers in man. And using all of these powers, then you can bring out into the world your powers through dibur. I mentioned many times, I once spoke to a great doctor who was an expert in speech. And he told me, he said, with all our research, we still don't understand it. And what makes it so difficult is because when we see someone, a child, or someone who has a speech impediment, a speech problem, he says it can be mental, it can be emotional, it can be physical. Or it can be a combination. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not interested in creating a malach, a neshama. Then he didn't need this world. And he wasn't interested in creating a physical galem. Then he didn't have to have the upper world. He was interested in bringing both worlds together in man. And then what did he become? And that's what it states. After he brought both worlds together in man, Vayi Adam LeNefesh Chaya, he became this being. And on that, the Targum says, the speaker, the one who could utilize all of these powers to bring out into the world, into the physical world, his innermost thoughts and innermost intelligence. And the Maharal goes further. He says it is for this reason that we find that speech is called Niv, Niv Svasai. The word Neve comes from the word Tenuva, which means fruits. They are the fruits of man. Not only are they the fruits of man, but they are the Iker Pere Shalo Odom. They are the main fruits of man. Why? Because the thoughts are not the fruits of man. They are the fruits of the spiritual power in man. The emotions of love or hate or revenge or envy or anger or happiness, they are not the fruits of total man. This is called the fruits of the nefesh of man. The physical acts of man are the fruits of the physical man. The fruits which comes in totality from all of man, the most from all of his fruits, is the Dibor. And therefore it's called Niv Svosayim, the fruits of man. Now we understand very well that the sages always identified the level of man's life as the Madaber. They would refer to inanimate objects as domain. That's the level of silent life. And of that what grows as the Tzumeach, something which can grow. And as the creatures of the world, as Balei Chai. Man they refer to as the Madaber, the one who could speak. And then the Maral goes one step further. And that is, what would happen if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this whole beautiful, wonderful world that we have during the 6 days of creation, and he stopped before the creation of man and left it at that? Well, everyone would understand the world was never brought to its fruition. The world was never brought to its purpose. You could have a world of dolphins and whales and animals and insects, but for what purpose? It was the creation of man that gave the world a direction, a purpose, a shlemus, a totality. It brought it out into its totality. It's the dibur of man, his speech, which brings man into his totality. Because there he's utilizing all of Adam, and he's bringing it into the world. Until then, it's Ne'alam, it's totally concealed. It's a potential. So if speech brings man into his totality, and man brings the world into totality, he says, then we can say that is the power of the speech of man which brings the whole world into its totality. If it is the speech of man that brings him, Lidei Pael, into totality, into this world, and it is man that brings the world into its totality, so then we could say that it is the speech that brings the whole world into its totality. And therefore it's the Niv, it's the Tenuva, it's the true fruits of the man. And therefore we can understand that even though it's enormously important, the communication between people, but the power of Dibur ascends even higher than that. It is therefore the reason that Chazal and the Torah has cautioned us to be careful with our speech. Not only where there's an Avera like we mentioned, but even where there's not Avera. Where there's there's not a total Aveda, for and even though we're not hurting anyone with our speech. For example, they say that one should not speak Dvorim Reikim Ubetelim. One should not sit and speak empty words or just useless talk. Because speech is something which is very, very precious. Or, for example, we have a Gemara in Masechet Psochim. But the Gemara brings, and I'm Gimel Amar Aleph, that we have to be careful in choosing the right words when we talk. That we should always look for a good word. And we should look for the Gemara brings a Loshen Nekiyah, a pure word, and a Loshen Koved, a word which is very honorable. Gemara brings, it brings it here because in the Mishnah, the Tana had a choice. When he wrote the Mishnah, he could have used the word Lil, which would mean the eve, or Or, which would mean the word, the same thing. And he chose Or because it's a nicer word. And from there the Gemara says, Domer Bishur ben Levi la'elam al yetzi odem davar maguna b'fif. A person should never use a word which is not such a nice word. Now, we're not speaking about a profane word. We're not speaking about an obscene word. We're not speaking about a word which is unacceptable, because these words the Torah itself uses. But the Gemara says that if you have a choice, you should use these words. For example, the Torah, rather than, in some places, the Torah, when it was speaking of a behema tmeya, which means an impure animal, rather than to use the word tmeya on a behema, on an animal, to say he's impure, where it could, it would say that he's not pure, rather than to use the word tmeya. And the Gemara brings not only the Torah, but even the Mishnah, like we see here. And not only the Mishnah and the Gemara, but even when we speak all of the time. Afilu b'mili de'alma, das fosai borum molulu. One should always choose the words which are the most best word, the best words are the most beautiful words, yet that are possible. Even though we're speaking about words, when necessary, you might use them. And the Gemara brings a number of examples. The Gemara says, Hanu tre talmidei, davi yasvei kameida rav. There were two talmidim, two disciples, that they were sitting before Rav. And Rav had given a long shir. And after the shir, one said that the shir tired me out like a gdimas ankin, like a fatigued goat. And the other one said that this shir tired me out like a Dover Acher Mesankin. He referred to himself as a fatigued animal, and he referred to himself as an impure animal, like a fatigued donkey or horse or pig. And when Rav heard, Rav stopped speaking to that one, because he used a term which he shouldn't have used. Even though there was nothing wrong with that, the Torah itself many times uses those terms. And the Rabbeinu Hananel says, because he used it in association with himself. And then the Gemara brings another case, that there were two disciples, they were sitting before Hillel, or some say that they were sitting before Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. And one said, why is it that when we cut when we cut grapes, so the utensils must be pure. But when we cut olives, they do not have to be pure. He says, "Ein meiskin betaharo." And the other one asked the same question, but he said, when we cut olives, it's meiskin betuma. He used the word tuma, which means impure. And the Rebbe, this was Hillel, or Rebbe Eichmann Zakkai, said, "Muftach ani bezeh shemeira herobi Yisrael." The one that chose a more better and a more beautiful word, he said, he one day will be a great Rav in Israel. And it was Israel, and this happened. And then the Gemara brings another case. There were three Kahanim, and these Kahanim were sharing the Lechem Aponim. There was a shulchan, the table that was in the sanctuary, and every Shabbos 12 new loaves of bread were placed there, and they would stay there for the week. And at the end of the week, these loaves were divided up amongst the Kahanim. But there were many Kahanim, and many times each one would get a very small portion. So they were speaking to each other, and one said that this time I only got such a small portion, it was the size of a bean. And the other one said, I only got the size of an olive. And the third one said, I only got the size of a tail of a certain lizard. And when they heard what the third one said, that he referred to the Lechem HaKodesh, to the sanctified bread, with the term of a tail of a lizard, they said, no, something's wrong. And they inspected, and they found out that he was not such a kosher kohen. The Gemara brings many such cases. The Maral explains, what are we speaking about? He says that the essence of tov, of what is good, and the essence of ra, of what is evil, are the antithesis of each other. And therefore, they must be kept as far as possible from each other as one can do. This is why the Torah says, for example, Midvar Sheker Tirchok, distance yourself from something which is lies. Or Harchek Mishochein Ra, distance yourself from evil. In other words, the association itself is a great detriment. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man as his greatest creation, and he gave him this power of speech, so it's not enough that we're just careful with the speech, but we must distance ourselves, especially in our speech, because this is the main fruits and power of the soul of man on this world. To the ultimate, we must distance ourselves from anything which is unacceptable, or which is not a beautiful word, or a loshen noki, a loshen sach, an honorable word, wherever possible. For example, the Torah, to give an example on this, the Torah said, Shem Elohim Acherim lo yishom al picho. When it prohibits us from idolatry, it says the name of other gods should not be heard on your lips. Now why? Idolatry means to serve other gods. Just because I mention other gods, I'm not serving them. Because Aveirah Zorah, idolatry, is the ultimate in evil. And therefore we must distance ourselves as far as possible where it's not even on our lips. So this is the same thing here. And the Gemara says, the Torah for sure is very careful, because these were the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then the Gemara says, even the Mishnah and the Gemara was very careful.
But still, those are the words of the sages. So the Gemara says, no, even in everyday talk also, you have to be very careful. And this is why we see that the Gemara says you must be very careful on how you associate, with what you associate your words. For example, there was nothing wrong with saying the word of a donkey or the word of a horse. But when he said that I am as tired as a donkey or a horse, so he's associating the word donkey or horse or pig to the Tzelem Elokim, to the man made in God's image. Or, for example, there's nothing wrong with saying the tail of a lizard. The Torah tells us this. But when a Kohen, and especially a Kohen, who was given Kedusha Yesera, he was given an extra dimension of sanctity, then the fruits of his mouth must have extra dimensions of sanctity, for the fact that he could associate the Lechem Haponim, the Lechem, the bread which has Kedusha in it, with that, they knew that there was something wrong with his nefesh, with his very soul, if this could come out of his mouth. And therefore, Botko, they investigated and they found there was something not 100% kosher with him. And this is why one must always choose a very careful language and a loshon kovod. We see all the Torah was very careful, each word it wrote, and the way it wrote, and we see the way the others spoke and they wrote. Well, they chose perfect language. Now, why is this so important? One might think, well, what's the difference the way I talk? Because if one has to talk and formulate and verbalize his words in such a manner, so he's not changing merely his vocabulary. You have a tree that gives fruits. You cannot change the fruits without changing the tree. You cannot change the product without changing the producer. If one wants better fruits, then he has to improve the tree. And if one concentrates, and if one gives effort all of the time on improving his language, so it's a purer language, what he is doing is improving his soul and the nefesh adam, so it can give out a better fruit. And this is how the Chazal would see that from the fruits of the speech of the Talmidim, they would be able to have an insight into what the Talmud is. This is why the Gemara says, "La'elom yidaber odom beloshin nikia, beloshin sach, beloshin kovid." You should always choose the most appropriate and beautiful word. The al yetsi mipi davar maguna. You shouldn't choose a word which is not a nice word. Now, until now, we are speaking about words where, in essence, there's nothing wrong with them. The Torah itself uses them. But now we come even to another level. And this is nivlos peh. What about using words which are obscene? Words which are totally unacceptable? Obscenities or vulgar and so forth. Now today we find, like we said, talk is cheap. Talk means nothing. But we find that not only is talk cheap, and you got this word industry where it puts out words by the billions, but people today don't care what they say. Things have
dropped to such a low level today, where we find that it's become acceptable. It's become the norm for people to use vulgar words and obscenities and profanities. And even women publicly to use such words is considered acceptable today. I mentioned many times when I was young, once had a case where a young kid started to use profanities in the presence of a woman. This was a goy, and there was an old goy there. And he told him, he says, "You don't speak like this in front of a woman." I mean, this was a person who himself would use profane language, but not in front of a woman. I mentioned on Shabbos that the the English society, nobility, and the upper class, they always had a custom that when they would get together for a dinner, after the dinner, the women would retire in one room for tea, and the men would retire in another room for brandy and cigars. So I once asked someone, "Why? What was the purpose of this?" So he said, an Englishman, he says, "No, very simple." He says, "Because the men wanted to relax and be at ease, and they couldn't be like that at the dinner table, because in the presence of women they couldn't speak freely, they couldn't speak their profanities. So this was as a protection to the women, that you give the man a few minutes alone, and then he'll be able to relax and still protect the dignity of the women." So this is how it's always accepted. Today, even the women on the public media speak like that. What does the Gemara say on that? And the world takes it as a joke. The Gemara brings on Daf Lamed Gimel in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara says something interesting. He says, "What is the difference between this, or what we're speaking here by Loshon Nekiyah, or here by Nimlas Peh, and between Loshon Hora, or between Enos Dvorim?" He says, "When it comes to Loshon Hora or Enos Dvorim," he says, "there you're mazik, you hurt someone with your speech." "When it comes to this over here, what we're talking about now, you're not hurting anyone with your speech, but you're destroying yourself with the speech." And he said, "And this is something people don't understand. It's become a whole national sport. Who could speak more profanities?" And they don't understand. They are destroying themselves with their speech. He says, "When I speak against someone else or I insult someone, so then I am being mazik, destroying someone else. But when we're talking about this type of talk that we've been talking about, that's self-destructive. You are destroying yourself." So what's the speech? Now, the Gemara brings on Shabbos Misan, Daf Lamed Gimel, Ba'ov and Nivles Peh. Because of Nivles Peh, of profanities and obscenities that people speak, Tzoris Rabbeis, Ugzeris Koshes, Mischatshois. Great Tzoris, and very difficult decrees, renew themselves to the world. Ubachure Seni Yisrael Mesim, and heaven forbid, the youth of Yisrael, heaven forbid, die. Yisomim Ba'almanas So'akin. The orphans and the widows cry to Hashem ve'ein ne'omin, and no one answers. Shnemar alkein al bachurav, the pasuk from Yeshayahu test. Alkein al bachurav leyismach Hashem, ve'shisayman ve'samanesav leyirachim. Ki kule chonaf umeira v'chol peh devin avolo. States that the young will not Hashem will not rejoice in the young, in the youth. And the orphans and the widows Hashem will not have compassion to, because the world will be full of deceit, and every mouth will speak obscenities and disgust. Ubechol zeis leishov apay ve'od yodin atuya. And with all of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not withdraw his hand, but he will still stretch out his hand to bring, heaven forbid, decrees to the world. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? He'll still stretch out his hand. Brings an example. Everyone knows why the Kala goes to the Chuppah. But someone who says profanities, obscenities in regards to this, that even if a person was, it was decreed on that person he would have 70 good years, a lifetime of good years, it could be changed, heaven forbid. And then the Gemara brings, not only the ones who speak this way, but those who are there who listen. Because the Gemara says, Shemeya Ke'ena. It's just like a mitzvah, you hear someone say a barocha, and you answer Amen. In other words, you associate yourself with it. It's as if you said the barocha. The same thing if you're with people and this is the way they speak and you associate yourself with it. So then, heaven forbid, this also refers to that person. From here now, we understand why the consequences and the ramifications of the Lashon Hara and the Rechilus, the slandering and the that brought and the speaking of Machlekes is so great and had such great, brought such great korbanos. Firstly, with their speech, they were mazik. They destroyed people. And the Lashon Hara, what does it destroy? It destroys the name of the person. And the name of the person, the reputation, is the greatest gift that a person has. State shame tov al kulam. The greatest gift that a person can have is a good name. And if it's insults or to embarrass him, there the Gemara says, it's not merely physical, but it goes deep into the Nefesh Adam and to the Tzelem Elohim, to the image of Hashem. That's in regards to the person who is spoken against. But in regards to the person who's speaking it, it's the most powerful weapon that man was given. Bein letov, bein lara, whether it's for good or evil. Because this is the totality of the fruits of all of man, of the merging of the two worlds. And this is why the Gemara says, "Kol masapel loshen hora," someone who speaks loshen hora, magdil aveiros keneged gimel chamuros. His aveiros are as if he committed the three cardinal aveiros, aveiros zora, gilarais, and shvichas domin. And the Manal explains, because aveiros zora, when it comes to serving other gods, that basically comes from the intelligence of man. The shvichas domin, spilling of blood, that basically comes from the emotions of man, because it comes from hatred and from revenge and from anger. And the gilarayis, the promiscuity, adultery and incest, this is physical man. So each Avera is the cardinal Avera from one section of man. But the Lashon Hara is mobilizing all of the forces of man in the Dibur. And therefore, it's Magdal Avenas, his Averas are equal. And so here we can understand why this has caused such great devastation throughout the generations. This is what Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, said in his wisdom in Mishle Yudches Posukhof Aleph. He said as follows: Moves v'chaim biyad haloshen ve'ayhaveha yechal piryo. He says you should know that death and life
is beheld in the tongue. This was what the wisdom he was teaching us. There is no part of man which can behold so much death and so much life. Movis v'chaim b'yad haloshem. V'ayhavero yechal piryo. And he who loves to speak will eat its fruits. If he loves to speak evil things, he will eat the fruits of death. If he will love to speak good things, he will eat the fruits of life. And that's what David HaMelech said, "Mi'o'ish ha'chofetz chayim." Who is the man who wants life? "Ehev yomim lirei stov." He wants many, many good days. "Netzor l'shein chemeiro." That let him guard his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit. We should be zeicher to be from those who will eat from the fruits of life, of the tongue. And we should see the ingathering of our exiles and the rebuilding of our Beis HaMikdash b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za. Or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.